Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. We are recording after Posh's 2-1 defeat against Barnsley. A really frustrating evening, and I think the frustration's kind of sensed within this podcast. It's not as long as usual, I will say, but there's still plenty of information and thoughts in there. We go through the another injury. I feel like we're talking about them every week at the minute, which is frustrating. This time to Kyle Lisby. Could you think of a worse player to lose? I'm not sure you could at this stage. We also talk Kean Hayes' substitute performance, which wasn't great. We do give some praise to Declan Frith. We dissect whether Collins and Keller were poor or were they all right. We talk about Kyoso playing at centre-half and whether he did all right in there, if we need a change-up and we should have gone with Madonka instead. So there's plenty to talk about. There's plenty to talk of talking points, but overall feeling is definitely one of frustration, which is a shame. Before I tell you who I'm on with this episode, please do smash that like button beneath us. And if you really want to show your support for the channel, it means a lot if you could subscribe. We try and produce this content for you for every single Posh game, previews, reviews, and the rest, interviews, you name it, we've got it. So please do subscribe. We're pushing towards 2,000 subscribers now, which would be the next achievement for us to tick off. So, yeah, if you do enjoy this episode, please do consider if you haven't already. I was joined by Max for this episode. So all that's left to say is sit back, relax, and try to enjoy. Right then, Max, thoughts on that defeat?
That's a really tough one to take. Really tough one to take. First half, again, I thought we were fine. I thought we competed. We created so many chances. Leonard could have had two. He could have been on a hat trick. I think Lisby could have had two. Jimmy J. Morgan could have had one. Frith was creating a lot as well. I thought that was the best 45 minutes I'd seen from him in the first half. And it was all looking good. Obviously, we conceded. I think it's the 32nd minute we conceded on, and it was an unfortunate one to concede. But again, we still looked like we wanted to compete. We still looked like we wanted to play. And that's what I want to see from a Posh team. You know, we might get pegged back, but can we go and get another goal? And that was the way it was looking. We're going at half time. We come out to a completely different Posh side. I mean, that was ridiculous. That second half performance was one of the worst I've watched. So frustrating. We had so much space a lot of the time, so much. Collins had so much space in the midfield to do what he wanted with it. Their press, applaud it to Barnsley as well, because I thought their press was immense. But when we'd beaten the press, there was so much room to pick out the right pass, and it looked like we'd forgotten to play football. And Lisby goes down injured, and it almost felt like we gave up. You know, Lisby's probably been our best player for the last 8 weeks, maybe even longer than that. And he goes down and it's like, well, we're not going to win the game now. What's the point? And that's what it felt like. It didn't feel like anybody then wanted to go and score a goal. And we're bringing all these attackers on and nothing's changing. We're still playing the same way. There's no plan B. And that's so frustrating to watch. And it's such a frustrating result to take, because Barnsley have been so inconsistent this year. They've got so many games in hand. It's going to be a tricky run for them regardless, because of the volume of games they're going to have to play. You know, this is a 3 points that we wanted and we haven't got it. And that's disappointing.
Yeah, I actually think you're a little bit generous to Barnsley there. I'm not sure their press was that immense at all, to be honest. I thought first half we played completely through it and we should have been out of sight at half time. Competent referee and we would have had a penalty early on. The referee was awful all night. Don't want to blame him, but just another really poor official in League One, as we get used to seeing. But that, if you blame it on the referee, you kind of overlook the major issues and the major problems that were shown up on the night's evidence. I think on the first half, like I say, I think realistically we should have gone in ahead one or two goals to the good, really. On another night, Leonard tucks away one of the three chances that he has. Jimmy J. Morgan was presented with a massive opportunity that he just has to score. And then after the break, I can barely remember us creating a clear-cut chance And I thought Barnsley's defence, well, it is poor. That statistically, I think it's the worst defence in League One, or certainly one of the worst defences in League One. And it was like we just didn't really expose it at all. Now, I don't know whether that was down to a little bit of fatigue, but if it was fatigue, then I'm questioning why Luke Williams didn't turn to his substitutes earlier. And I know some people might say, well, they're young lads, but if they're on the bench and that's all you've got and your team's knackered, and I thought Leonard and Morgan both looked really tired after about the 65th minute tonight. And he seemed reluctant to go to his bench, which probably doesn't augur that well for some of them, the options that were on the bench tonight. And it just felt like we completely lost our way, like you said, Max. It was so sloppy in that second half. And while I don't think Barnsley did a great deal, they won it through more composure in the box, which is something that you don't often accuse Posh of lacking. But they also won it because I actually think they edged the second half compared to us, and they kind of pushed on after halftime, whereas we regressed. And whatever way you want to look at that, it's not great. We're now, I mean, Williams has done a great job. There's no doubt about it. We say this every week, and we kind of mitigate and qualify all the statements we make with how well Williams has done. But I had a look at the games over the last 10 games. We've taken 12 points now. It kind of feels like we've regressed to that mid-table form. And don't get me wrong, when he came in, we'd have all taken mid-table. But we kind of got up towards the upper echelons of the table. And I think we've kind of seen where this squad is. And that is pretty much a bang average League One squad. It's flawed in many areas. We didn't add to it in January. And I think our chickens are coming home to roost in a sense now.
Yeah, you said it almost perfectly there. Look at this squad. Look at the side. This side was, I think, a lot of the players here were here when we finished 17th last year and had a really poor year. Came in a lot. All of this side was here when we were down at the bottom of the table, rock bottom of the table. Luke Williams has come in and has allowed us to play with confidence and allowed us to play with expression and allowed our players to believe in themselves again. And look. I'd take anything to stay in the league. You know, if we're going to stay in League One, fine. Doesn't matter. Give Luke Williams a summer. Give him a transfer window. Allow him to continue to build this, what it seems to be a project. But this will always be the year that I think, what if? This is the poorest standard League One has been in a very long time. This is probably one of the easiest seasons to get into the playoffs, I think, anyway. It's so tight up and down the league. I think the quality has dropped off from previous years where, you know, those sort of automatic and playoff positions start to break away from the mid-table pack. We've still not seen that yet, and it's coming towards the end of February now. Should we have sacked Fergie in the summer? Should we have sacked Fergie earlier? Should we have signed some players in January? Because this injury crisis is absolutely ridiculous. We're without Mills, we're without Woods, we're without Garbett, we're without Hughes, we're without O'Connor. And now we're probably without Lisby. And we're without Lees as well. I can't forget Lees and such a fantastic job that he's done. Now, we're all blaming it on luck, but I used the analogy before the episode. You know, if you sit at a roulette table and every single time you're rolling red, it's not unlucky, is it? There's clearly something behind the scenes that's going on and you're going to question what's happening. It's exactly the same here. I cannot believe that we have got all of these players injured and that the answer is it's luck. Unlucky. It can't be unlucky. I'm really struggling to see. Are the training patterns too intense? Are we, you know, is it a schedule that our players aren't used to? Are we overusing players? Could we use the academy lads more? Like Lisby has had so many minutes. Could we have given Bolu a shout today and allowed Lisby to sit on the bench? Could we have done that and allowed Lisby just that 60 minutes of rest and let him come on and try and change the game later? You know, if we're going to use the academy lads, and that's what Dara wants to do going into next season, let's do it, you know? Let's try and do it. Let's try and use Bolu or you know, even use Sykut more. Use these players that we've brought along, Mendonca as well. Use them and let's try and give our players a rest to stop this injury rot, because it's absolutely insane that we've got that many players out, and that will be the reason we don't go up or at least don't compete in the playoffs this season, because the injuries to this squad is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, there is. I mean, I've said my piece on the medical department. I'm I'm basically not going to say anymore. I think I've made my position clear. But whatever way you look at it, whoever you blame for it, injury prevention has been a massive fail this season. Whoever's in charge of that, it's been a massive fail for whatever reason you want to blame that on. I think there were two moments which summed it up. One was Lisby's injury, where he was played a through ball by Kyle Johnston, and you saw him wince on the stream. You saw him go, oh, like that. He carried on playing for 5 minutes and then went down. The ball that where he got injured happened a minute after half time. So either he has come back out with an injury problem and then worsened it, which isn't great, or he has injured himself a minute after half time, which again isn't great for the sense that did you not stay warm at half time? You know, you shouldn't really get a muscle injury a minute after half time if that's a fresh one. To lose him is a hammer blow. It's almost at this point, you're kind of saying, who's the next key player that you want to lose? Is Archie Collins going to pull up in the next game? Or is Harry Leonard going to pull up in the next game? Because that feels like the way it's going. I did also want to touch on Declan Frith at the end. I don't know if he was cramp or injured, but if it was cramp, again, Declan Frith walked off with cramp at Swindon Town away in the EFL Trophy, which was 3 months ago, I want to say, November, December time. He's walked off with cramp again in February. Now, I know he hasn't played that many minutes beforehand, but surely if he's walked off with cramp 3 months ago, he should now be able to play 90 minutes. He's not played a huge amount of football, and I know there's no substitute for match practice, but is that right? It doesn't feel right to me. So, yeah, massive, massive questions have to be asked of what is going wrong there, because it has completely derailed our season. One thing I would say today is obviously the centre-half pairing was not ideal due to this injury crisis. So we had to play Kyoso there. And I did actually want to give Kyoso a bit of a shout. I know on the first goal, look, it's not the best view on stream whether he was fouled or not. Kyoso can be accused of going down easily, so I don't want to definitely and categorically say it's a foul. However, I think 9 times out of 10 referees give those, so I do feel a little bit harsh for him. But other than that, I thought he got through the game really quite well. I don't think that much went through him, and McGoldrick's obviously a decent quality League One striker, so I think he can... it wasn't an outstanding performance, but I don't think he let anyone down playing out of position at all. And Akagwe, I thought, was actually very, very good alongside him as well. I thought he continues to go from strength to strength. So while I've been a little bit miserable, I did just want to shout out, I guess, both centre-backs, because I don't think either of them had a bad game tonight.
No, I completely agree. I would have liked to have seen Mendonca start today. That was what I tweeted beforehand, that I think Mendonca deserved another league start, and I probably would have rested Dornelli if I was going to start Peter Chiozzo, but I thought he was fine. I am of the belief that it probably was a foul. He has tried to buy it a bit, but I think in the end the player sort of pushed him to the ground and ran over him. So I think that's probably a foul. The ref doesn't give it, and they score. Again, an unfortunate way to concede, but I had no bother with either of them. Akagwe again is I'm just loving watching his development, and I'm one of a very few positive. Very similar to Bradford, I actually thought he was great at Bradford. Well, not great, but he was good at Bradford, and I thought he was good again tonight. So again, both of those players, I was happy with. Cole Johnston had a bit of a torrid time, I thought. He had one really mazy run that you don't really see very often from Cole Johnston, but he sort of surged up the pitch to try and then Jimmy J. Morgan played it to Dornelli, and Dornelli hit it well as well. You know, that's another chance that maybe we'd created. But I thought that the winger got the better of him quite a few times. I thought he could have given away a penalty. It was very touch and go on two occasions. And defensively, you know, he's very good when it comes to 1v1 defending. I didn't see a lot of that tonight. I would have liked to have seen more of it. And on the other side, Dornelli, I was happy to a degree with his performance. It was definitely an improvement on his Bradford performance. I thought that was really poor. And we saw him a lot more in attack. We didn't see him a lot in attack. We haven't seen him a lot in attack. I thought he was bombing, surging and overlapping the player more times than not. And he really helped us in attack. I didn't really see anybody get the better of him too harshly. There was obviously a few occasions, but overall, I thought Donnelly had a decent display. So, I mean, both fullbacks, it's a bit, you know, Jekyll and Hyde. It's I thought Carl Johnson was not necessarily a poor performer, but it wasn't his best game. And I thought Donnelly was fine. So again, no issues with the back line. The result probably doesn't give a lot of plaudit to the back line. I didn't think there was much of an issue there today.
Yeah, I agree with you on Johnston. I think he is struggling a little bit at the minute. And there was one moment where he did make a very good block in the first half where he got back and stopped the ball on about the 6-yard box. But other than that, I thought he really struggled. Donnelly, I agree with you. I thought had a good night, was solid going forward, better in the first half than the second, but no real complaints with his performance. I did want to move on to the midfield a little bit. And I have to say, I didn't think it was Archie Collins' finest night. I thought he was, particularly second half, I thought he was really sloppy on the ball. Quite a frustrating display from him. And Keller as well. I thought Keller was probably better than Collins tonight, actually. But I don't know if I'm putting that down to the fact that maybe I don't expect quite as much from Brandon Keller on the ball. I do like Brandon Keller. He brings energy and I do like him, but on the same sense, there are times where he does look untidy and it felt a little bit untidy there.
There was a moment where Keller had the ball and he did this really nice turn where David McGoldrick was running. He saw him run. He put his back to David McGoldrick and then spun him and was able to play forward. I want to see more of that from Brandon Keller, more of using his brain to navigate tight spaces. There was moments where he was really sloppy and the ball would bounce, and instead of trying to take it down and play like he did with the McGoldrick press, he'd boot it up into the air, and Jimmy J Morgan ended up lashing at a chance where he did it once. There was numerous times where he did it and he gave it back to the opposition. And again, we've gone through how we struggle with physicality. I mean, Barnsley by no stretch of the imagination are a physical side. I don't think they're a physical team, but I think Keller did lose the battle with his man in terms of physicality, and there was times where he lost the ball where probably he shouldn't have. If he was a bit stronger, would have kept it. All very minor complaints, though. I've got no problem with Keller's performance. Collins, I do agree. And I said it when we started the episode so many times. Archie Collins drove into space and the final ball just wasn't Archie Collins standard. The time and composure that he usually has went out the window. He seemed devoid of confidence today. And considering sort of the run that we're on isn't particularly the best, but from where we've come from to where we are now, I'd expect Archie Collins, and you know, we've waxed lyrical about him. Well, I certainly have pretty much all season. It's a shame that tonight the performance that was probably one of the poorer performances from Collins this year. And again, by no stretch was it a bad performance. Like, I don't think anybody had necessarily a really torrid, like, I'm looking at it and I'm looking at giving a 3 or a 4. Like, I didn't feel anybody had that today, and I wouldn't, certainly not Collins, but I don't know. I expected more from someone like that.
Just moving forward, Declan Frith is somebody on the last episode of Final Whistle where I kind of said, not really sure what his main strength is. And I think a lot of Posh fans felt that way. I actually thought he played well. I thought he needed to have a good game when he got the nod. And I did think he did himself a credible performance tonight. I thought he was probably our brightest attacking threat. Dribbled well in tight spaces. There are still times where I think he takes too long on the ball. Still times where I think he needs to release it a little bit quicker than what he does. But actually, he was very unlucky not to walk away with an assist for that Morgan chance, which he put over the bar. Again, good work for the first goal where he kind of shifted inside and worked the shot. And obviously Lisby was there for the rebound. And overall, I thought it was a really positive night from Frith. Certainly from the start, I would say it's probably his best performance in a Posh shirt. He's made some impact off the bench at times, but I thought he was actually very good from the start tonight. And with Lisby out, he's probably almost certain to start the next game if he's fit, which we don't know about now.
Yeah, to me, I'm the medical professional. It looked to be just cramp. I mean, it didn't look like he was limping in any sort of pain. I just think it was one of those where it was just you couldn't put a lot of pressure on the legs in case you re-cramped it. That's what it looked like to me anyway. But again, I'm not a medical professional, so I'm having my fingers crossed, because if we follow the current trend of our season, it'll be out for the rest of it. And that won't be ideal, considering we've just lost Lisby as well. Well, we don't know how long Lisby's going to be out for. And Frith, again, with Frith, it's I think there's too many tricks. He's got too many strings to his bow, Declan Frith. It's he can do a lot, but he does a lot too much. Sometimes I think he just needs to, again, very similar to Keller, use his brain a bit. You know, should I run at the player here, or should I try and do a skill and play the ball quickly? You don't want to do all the skills and all the tricks and lose the ball, and you don't want to run at them with no skills and no tricks if that's what, you know, you want to trademark yourself with, and then lose the ball as well, because you're going to get to a point where all of these strings are going to collapse. You're going to lose confidence. And could we see Declan Frith become a little bit like Abraham Odo, where it's, do we know what he wants to play as a winger? You know, I think Odo would drive at the fullback and do all the work, and then all of a sudden it's back to the midfield we go. It was never like he'd take him on fully. I don't want to see Declan Frith come into his shell like that. I want to see his expression, because when he's playing tonight, so his moments that I'd saw, and remember, he's only 23. I think he's very coachable. When he gets into those moments and he doesn't quite know what to do, that can be coached out of him. So I wouldn't want him to take where he'd lost the ball or the performances tonight. I thought, you know, he was probably our standout performer today. And I just hope that he can continue to build on this performance, but also just hone into what he wants to do when he gets the ball. Does he want to drive at the man? Does he want to pull the tricks out and play the ball quickly? They're sort of the two options that I'd really want to see from an effective League One winger anyway. Harry Leonard, a very tired and leggy performance from Harry Leonard. And there was, on another day, he's on a hat trick. He walks away with a match ball on the coach home. Happy days, 3 points in the bag. Today, he missed every chance that we gave him. I think we genuinely put four chances, two of them on a plate. And it was just an unlike Harry Leonard performance today. I couldn't believe that he didn't walk away with at least one. And one goal is probably all we needed tonight. It would have secured us a point if you look at the grand scheme of things. But if he scores the goal to make it 2-0, it's a different story tonight. And again, just a leggy performance. It was the same with Jimmy J. Morgan. Just both fatigues, both need a rest. Could we look to the academy players to do a job? Could we see Pemi start on Saturday?
You might be more generous than me, because I don't think I gave Harry Leonard a 4, but I think I gave him a 4.5. I don't feel that as that harsh, because the amount of chances that he missed in front of goal, that is what Harry Leonard has proven pretty reliable at. But he had that one in the first half, which I thought was a great move, where Lisby released him and he just completely missed the ball. And that kind of summed up his night. He had a second one, which was the cross in from Frith, I think it was, where maybe Dornelli, and he couldn't get ahead of the keeper and score. He had the one-on-one in the first half, which he actually took down really well, but the finish wasn't great. And then the second half, I just thought he completely faded out of the game. And I know it's difficult to bring Leonard off because of how good he is, but it felt almost like Pemi might as well have come on for the last 25 minutes because of how ineffective Leonard was, purely on that 90 minutes in isolation. It felt like a game too far for him, and he just wasn't having a good night. The other person who had a terrible, terrible, terrible night was Kieran Hayes. It didn't help him coming on for Lisby, but the quality difference between the two was pretty stark. And I know Kieran Hayes is a very popular man in Peterborough and often gets his name sung from the fans. And I like him. He's a hard worker. But tonight's display was just woeful. And there does need to come a stage where he starts doing more in the final third. There's no point. Hard work is great. And Carl Johnston's another one. Hard worker. Brilliant. But there has to come a stage where you demand a bit more quality. And I think we're at that stage now with Kieran Hayes. He's been here for 19, 20 months. I need to see him kick on. I need to see more if he's going to be here next season. And those sort of performances are just never going to get it done. The corner in the last minute. Our corners were absolutely atrocious again tonight, the whole way through, by the way. We're calling out the medical department, but whoever's in charge of our set pieces needs to do a better job on them as well, because, okay, we're defending them, okay, but I mean, going forward, when's the last time we scored a corner? When's the last time we had a shot from a corner? We're so lacking in that department. And you hear about Bradford scoring 1 in 3 of their goals are from corners. Like, wouldn't that be nice if we had an actual threat from set pieces? But anyway, we're getting off topic a little bit there. Kean Hayes, that corner in the last minute summed up his display tonight. I just thought he got everything wrong after coming onto the pitch. And he got outshone quite severely by Sykert, who came on and I thought looked really comfortable yet again. And actually, one thing I really liked with Sykert is that shot in the 93rd minute. I know it's probably not the percentage play, given that he took it on from range and maybe he could have tried to slip in a forward. But what I did think was nice is a 17-year-old kid going up, no, I'm going to take the responsibility here. I'm not going to shirk and try and find a senior player. I'm going to have the shot. I'm going to take it on. And was it the right decision? I don't know. If it ends up in the back of the night, we're all calling him a genius. But the turn was brilliant. And actually, he looks at home, especially in games like that. He does really look a technically gifted player. I really do like Sykert. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I was saying maybe he should have used his subs a little bit earlier, because I would have liked to have seen him have 20 minutes with that space. It's the sort of game, more than a Mansfield, where he came on, I felt, quite early when Sykert and Pemi came on, which was a boggy pitch against a physical opposition. That was a more open game, a more nice game of football, a more purist game of football tonight, and actually a game that favoured him, and we didn't see him till a little bit late. So I did find that a little bit muddled up in its thinking.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Sykert. And again, it was probably my sort of opening statement when we were talking about the medical department, was talking about using our academy players, because that's what Darrow wants to do. That he's made that very clear, that he wants our academy. He thinks we've got a great crop of academy youth and he wants to bring them in. And I think Sykert is, you know, he's 17. He's very young. He shouldn't have a lot of pressure on his shoulders to go out and you know, hunt for a result. And he did today. He took the pressure on his shoulders. He hunted. He tried to help as best he could. And look, we didn't walk away with all 3 points, but he can walk away with his head held high that he came on and he really tried to give us an impact. But, you know, I'd like to see Bolu. I'd like to see more of Mendonca. I'd like to see more of Sykert if we don't think that we can get to the playoffs. And I am, you know, as positive as I can be, I will wave the flag until the flag burns down. But if we think we're not going to get to the playoffs this season, I would really like to see some of these academy youth come in and start getting some of these minutes and maybe even starting a few on the occasion, because to be honest, if they're going to be in our team next season, and I 100% categorically think that if we don't achieve playoffs next season, it would be a failure of a season. If we are going to make it this season and those players are going to be in and around a playoff pushing squad, because that's what I believe we should be aiming for, then I think they should come in now so they can start getting these experiences and start playing against teams that are going to be here next year. You know, Barnsley may make it to the playoffs. They've got a lot of games in hand. Who knows? But if they don't, Barnsley is a perfect example of a team that could be here next year. Can we have Sykert and Bolu play him and Donker play? Can we give our players a rest? Because I believe if we'd have brought Bolu and started him today and we'd given Lisby a rest, Lisby doesn't walk off injured. It's a cumulative sum of 90 minute after 90 minute after 90 minute. He very rarely gets subbed off. Does Lisby. And I think today was just an injury purely based off the fact that he's played too many minutes. So Sykert, a fantastic audition for next season. If he's going to be in and around it, then great. He's you know, can we continue this? Can we continue to bring him in? And can he maybe even pick up a goal or an assist before the end of the season? You know, that'd be fantastic as well. Outshone definitely by the Kean Hayes was outshone by Sykert today. And I am a big Kean Hayes, you know, I like him. I really do like him a lot. But he doesn't, very rarely does he offer something in that final third. And he does have to be more clinical. You're absolutely right, John. He has to be, because we need to get all of these players that we don't want here next season out. And they should be treating these like auditions for the retain list. And I don't think that was I think Kean Hayes, you know, that's by no stretch of the imagination saying I don't want Kean Hayes next year. But that it epitomizes what Kean Hayes can do on a very bad day. So hopefully he can turn that around.
Yeah, I think the key at this stage is making sure what happened last season, where we barely won a game once we were safe, for the rest of the season happens again. We do need to keep playing. And while I don't think that's ever going to result in a playoff push at this stage, I just think there's too many teams between us and the playoffs at this point. I would like us to keep pushing to the end, so to speak. And if players don't want to push till the end, then it's time to start thinking about next season, I think. And like you say, bring in some of the younger lads potentially. Last episode was a bumper episode. This episode has probably been one of the more brief ones of the season. So I think we've wrapped everything up from that game, to be honest. A familiar story of late, I think, really, where you're just wondering when we're going to get our key players fit and when these injuries are going to stop, how many more players can get injured. We will be back on Friday night in our usual slot of 8 p.m. for Countdown to Kickoff, where we'll be previewing Exeter City at home. And hopefully a return to London Road will see Posh return to winning ways. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.